Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we close out our studies on seven reasons why Christ died. These reasons are very, very important, and although this reason today might not seem that it would justify his death, and certainly not in itself would it justify his death, but his death really paves the way for what we wish to see today in this lesson, which we are going to entitle, To Be an Example for Us. We're going to handle the subject today under three headings: to follow his example of submission, and then to follow his example of love to us, his own, and then thirdly, God's reward to those who do follow his example. We're going to be reading, first of all, in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, inclusive. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we would welcome you to read with us and enjoy the word as we speak of it. In the 20th verse of the first chapter, or first epistle to Peter, chapter 2, we read these words: For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Going on in verses 24 and verses 25, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that is, on the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now this is one of the reasons why Christ died, to be an example to us to follow his submission to his Father. Did you notice, please? When our Lord Jesus Christ, when Peter speaks, rather, of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says this: For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. Now notice, please, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that, I think, is probably one of the best examples that we could possibly gain from his submission, is that he was willing to bear these onslaughts of his persecutors. Now, we have persecutors, and indeed, we are not persecuted like he was. They reviled him, they persecuted him, and then finally they crucified him. But his willingness to suffer the persecution of those who hated him is to be our example. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, we can do that in our persecutions. Now, granted, in this day and age, it is not, in this nation at least, we will not suffer like Christ died, but we will suffer persecution. The Apostle Paul wrote in one of his epistles, he says, Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, our persecution will probably be that people just won't associate with us. They don't feel easy with us around, and so they stay away from us. They neglect us, and they will not come into our fellowship. They don't want to. We remind them of Christ, and they don't like to think of their responsibility to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christian indeed can make the unsaved around him very uncomfortable. Now they will persecute us, not with sticks and stones, not with the way they did the Lord, not with the revilings they heaped upon him. And he bore it patiently. Patiently, why? Because he wanted to give us an example that we should just place our case in the hands of our Heavenly Father and leave it there. Certainly, we do commit ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. Now, this was one reason, to follow the example of his submission. And then there's another reason that I think is even grander than that, to follow his example of love to us. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 these words, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now that is an example supreme. Listen, I'm going to read it again. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." The Lord told his disciples when he was here with them in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And indeed, that is true. I think I've told over this broadcast the example in World War II of a black boy, a black soldier, and a group of white soldiers. And they were on the front lines, and a hand grenade was lobbed into their trench where they were, and it lit right by the black soldier. He threw his helmet over the grenade and threw himself upon his helmet, and of course the grenade exploded and killed him. He did it to save his buddies. Do you think they'll ever forget that? I don't believe that those white buddies of that dear black soldier would ever forget that. They owed their lives to him. All right. Will we forget the fact that Christ died for us to save us from a lost eternity, from the consequences of our sins, to free us from the thraldom of sin? Should we forget that? Never should we forget that love, that example of love. And we read, as a matter of fact, when he says that, in John 15 and 13, he says, "There greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." But listen to this, please. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He died for us when we were not his friends. He died for us before we, as a matter of fact, he died for us before we knew anything about it. But he died for us knowing that we would not be his friends, that we would shun him. And he died that he might win us by his love and show us that example of love that we might display to our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." This has been facetiously read, that sometimes it is facetiously read, "And we ought to lay out our brethren." Do we love our brethren? We ought to lay down our lives for them. We are so indebted to the soldiers of this great country of ours who have laid down their lives for us to preserve our liberties. And they made the supreme sacrifice. The supreme sacrifice was really Christ when he laid down his life to save us from a lost eternity and from the lake of fire that is at the end of the road. Oh, how we should follow his example in showing kindness to those that belong to the Lord. And certainly the Lord will show us how we may achieve true greatness. Now we read in Mark chapter 10, for instance, and verse 35, we read there, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we should desire. And he said to them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said to him, Grant unto us that we may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. The other disciples were amazed that they would make this request. And the Lord Jesus takes them to task, and he says to them, Jesus called them to him and said, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But it, so shall it not be among you. For whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. O Christ gave his life for you and for me. John Nelson Darby, a preacher of the 19th century, a great man of God, made this statement one time. And it has been preserved. Preserved, I think, for our enjoyment. And it is this. Self thinks itself to be great and wants to be served. Love serves and is great. Think of the love that Christ has shown to you and to me. Now the Word of God encourages you and me, show that same love to your brethren, even if it meant dying for them. I think we've had examples in our soldiers, but the example is the one who made the supreme sacrifice, that fought that battle on that cross all alone against the hosts of Satan. Now thirdly, God rewards those who suffer for his sake. In the Philippian epistle, we read there how that in verse 5 of that epistle, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to what follows, if you please. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now God compensates our submission and our love for our brethren. He compensates that at the judgment seat of Christ with rewards. He will last the crowns that we may cast at his feet. God takes note of it, and he will reward those who follow the example of Christ. Our Father, make this lesson live in our memories, we pray, in the name of him who loved us and died for us, our Lord Jesus. Amen.